Good morning, everyone. This is John Alls from Independence Baptist Church, and we want to welcome you back this morning. This month, we've been talking about music and its place in the worship of the Lord. Now, let's take a couple of minutes to recap what we found about this topic in the Bible. So far, we found that it is part of worshiping God. It should be in our hearts. It should be used to teach others. It should praise God. It should show His righteousness. It should bring honor to His name. It should show His mercy, His faithfulness, His salvation, and His judgment. And all those things it talks about, it should show them to the next generation. It should also be joyful. It should be pleasant. It should be comely, which of course we found that means beautiful and suitable. And we should sing all our life, or as long as we have being. And we should sing with understanding. And that understanding is not just our own understanding, but that those that are hearing it will understand it as well. We also found that it can be something we do in times of trouble and turmoil, as the children of Israel used it when they went into battle. They had their singers up in front, and then the Lord gave a mighty victory for them. So that's just another thing that we can do in times of trouble and trial. Now, this week we'll be finishing up this topic by covering who should sing, why we should sing, and if instruments should be used in worship. So let's start in Psalms chapter 96, verse 1. Now you'll find that as we went through this, of course, the book of Psalms has a whole bunch of verses pertaining to this very topic. And of course, that makes sense because the whole point of the book of Psalms was songs or poems about the Lord and worshiping Him. So of course, that's where we would get a lot of our information. But I was kind of surprised actually to find out how many verses outside of Psalms are used. There's a bunch in Chronicles, and there's some in Samuel, as well as those that we've already talked about in the New Testament. But here in Psalms chapter 96, verse 1, it says, "O sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people." And of course, what we're talking about here is who should be singing. And the phrase that I think needs to jump out at us at this is, it says, "Sing unto the Lord all the earth." So really, to me, I see this as a commandment from the Lord that all the earth should be singing to Him. Of course, there's going to be those that aren't. Those that don't trust Him, those that don't want anything to do with Him. But I think it's just another example of where we fall short of serving the Lord the way that we should. And so I think in this case we find that pretty well this verse is telling us that everybody and all the earth should be singing unto the Lord. Now we're also going to look at Psalms 100. Psalms 100, verse 1. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Really, the main thing we're looking at here is that in verse 1, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." So yet again, I think it's another reference to the fact that everybody, all nations, all people should be singing unto the Lord and should be singing His glory. We're also going to look in Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 6. And this verse actually talks about the righteous. In Proverbs 29, verse 6, it says, "In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice." Okay, so I think, again, if we're talking about, we're trying to search the Word to find out who should be singing, we already know that everyone, all lands, all people should be singing. But here we find in Proverbs, he's saying that the righteous will be singing and praising God. It is one of the things that if we're serving the Lord, if we're in the place that we should be, we will be singing and praising Him. Now, there's all kinds of other things that we should be doing, and I don't want to detract from that. We should be praying, we should be serving Him in actions and in all these things, but I find here that it says, the righteous will be singing and praising God. So I think that's something that we need to think about. You know, it's not saying that you've got to get up and sing in front of the whole congregation. It's not talking about that. But it is talking about that you will be singing and praising God. Whether that's in your heart, making melody in your heart, or whether it's singing a special at church, or whether it's just singing with the congregation, the righteous, in thankfulness and in praise to God, will be singing to Him. All right, so those are a couple of things that talk about who. And of course, as we pointed out last week, there's also the reference in Matthew where it talked about after they had taken the Lord's Supper that they, as a group, they had sung a hymn. So I think that obviously also points to the fact that as Christians, as members of the church, as those that are taking the Lord's Supper in the church, we should be singing to the Lord in those instances. So I think that's another example of who should be singing. You know, and I think it's kind of funny. Lots of times people want to call themselves Christians without realizing that, of course, the word Christian means Christ-like. And in that case, we find that Christ Himself sung in Him. And so if we want to be Christ-like, I think it just naturally goes to say that we should be singing hymns of praise to the Lord. We also need to talk about why we sing. And honestly, when we talked about what singing is, we kind of answered a lot of that question when you talk about what singing is. It kind of answers itself about why we would sing. But there are a couple more verses that I want to share with you. One of them is in Psalms chapter 108, verse 4. In this verse it says, "For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds." Now I'm starting in the middle of a thought here, and it says, because it starts with four, so that's saying because of the above, or you're going to do the above because of this. Well, let's jump back and start in verse 1. It says, "O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery, and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations." That is what leads up to verse 4, where it says, "For thy mercy is great above the heavens." So because the Lord's mercy is great, and we know as sinners that have been saved, we know the mercy of the Lord. We know where we were heading. We know what we deserved. Because of that, because the Lord is merciful, because of what the Lord has done, we should sing praise to Him continually. In song, in psaltery, in harp, we should sing unto the Lord and make music to Him. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt Him." And in this case, we find that they're singing to the Lord because of the victory or the triumph that the Lord has given them. The Lord had taken the Egyptians. The Lord closed up the Red Sea. And there's just all different kinds of situations where the Lord gave them triumph over the Egyptians. And so we find here that they sing to Him about that. And so lots of times what you'll find in song is that it has to fit all these other criteria about showing forth His mercy and His glory and His judgment and His honor. But lots of times it's going to be more personal than that. It's going to be about the victories that the Lord has given you. And you may not have the blessing of being able to write a song. I definitely don't. But when you read these songs, you can tell a lot of these hymns that we sing, they are personal victories for the songwriter. They were personal to that songwriter. And I think that when you read these words and you apply them to your life, you'll find that they remind you of the things that the Lord has done for you, that they remember or they bring back the victories that the Lord has given to you. They should show His mercy. They should show that He has given victory or triumph. If you read 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, it shows, and I'm not going to read that for time's sake, but it talks about it needs to show forth His glory or to talk about His glory. And 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 23 says, to show His salvation. These are some reasons why we should sing. Because He's shown us mercy, because He's given us victory, because He has shown us His glory and we need to talk about it, and He has given us salvation. and we need to tell others and sing praises to Him about it. The other thing that we want to talk about before we close is whether or not instruments should be used in music. Now, I personally, I like to sing with music in regards to instrumental. I like to sing a cappella. Both ways are perfectly fine with me, and I don't think that it's wrong to sing a cappella. I don't think that it's wrong to sing with instruments. But I think that when you sing with instruments, you have to keep in mind some of those things that we talked about earlier. It's got to be praising to God. It's got to be understandable. When the music overrides the words, it's not understandable. Therefore, it is unfruitful. So those are some things to keep in mind, I think, when you talk about whether or not instruments should be involved. I know some situations where people don't feel any music should be used. No piano, no nothing. I don't have a problem with singing a cappella. I don't think that it's unscriptural to use a piano or to use some other form or fashion of instruments. But they have to be comely or suitable to the situation, suitable to praising God. They have to show His glory and show His honor, and they have to be understandable. But that being said, I think you will find in arguments about it being acceptable to use instruments, you will find all kinds of references, some of which we've already read. But if you turn over to Psalms 150, verse 4, you're going to find, "Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." So I think here you also find a situation where instruments are being used in the song or in worshiping of the Lord. You can also look, and we already read this verse, but I think it's a very interesting verse. If you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 29, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 25, it says, "And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet, for so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets." So in this case, we actually read this verse in the first week where we talked about whether or not music should be used in the worship service of the Lord. In this case, we find that the Lord, through David and Gad and Nathan the prophet, actually commanded that music be used. And in this case, we even find that it was musical instruments. These were stringed instruments, psalteries and harps and cymbals. Of course, the cymbal there isn't a stringed instrument, but it is a musical instrument. And so I think we find in Psalms 150, verse 4, and we find here in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 25, that musical instruments are definitely part of the song service or the worship of the Lord. Now, that does not mean that every time we sing a song unto the Lord that there's got to be musical instruments. Because I think when you look in the New Testament in Ephesians and it says, making melody in your heart to the Lord, I don't think you've got to have your little cymbal, a little psaltery or harp right there with you. And if you don't have one, you can't sing. Because it's talking about singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. But I do think that there is a very strong argument to the fact that musical instruments can be used in the worship of the Lord. So, we've covered a lot of ground over these last 4 weeks. We've found that singing and music should be part of worshiping the Lord. We've found the things that it should involve, what it should be talking about. It should be praising and glorifying Him. It should be teaching others. And yes, it is okay for instruments or musical instruments to be used in this worshiping of the Lord through song. Now, there's so much more, honestly, that I could cover, and I don't have time to do so, but hopefully this is kind of giving you a little bit of taste of the number of verses that talk about worshiping and praising God in song. And I hope and pray that it's been a blessing to you, and that you'll be able to take it and use it in your personal worship of the Lord. Now, I'd also like to take the opportunity before we close to remind you that you are welcome to come and worship the Lord with us at Independence Baptist Church. You can find us at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. Our Sunday morning services are at 10 o'clock for Sunday school, 11 for worship. And then we also have Sunday evening services starting with a prayer class at 4 and worship services at 4:30. We do thank you for listening these last few weeks, and we do want to remind you and encourage you to be sure and tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.